step. As I stand here, today will be the last time I'm here for a long time. I'm going away for about 3 months, coming back for a few weeks, and then going away for a further 3 months next year. At this present time, I don't think I'll be taking office in this church, because our family is in big trouble, legally. This is this warning of a problem we've had over the years. It's getting worse. We can't seem to get over here anymore. I stand here today, and I want to say a few words. Now, I hope I'll do a better job than that fellow did during the week. I hope to get through. This morning I want to open up by talking about Christian hospitality. We've seen an example of Christian hospitality this week on the television in a big way. People have been drawn together in sadness. In sadness in a way which unites us. As Australians, we tend to draw together when we have trouble. If there's flood, fire, famine, or anything else, we are there to help one another. We tend to stick together. We are like glue. Out come the biscuits, out come the cakes, out come the food when there's trouble in the world of us. And so today, following on from what I did a fortnight or so ago, when I've been asked to do this one in a slightly different way today, a presentation, this one has come out. And today I want to read something and I'll start proper telling you a few stories. I'll go back over them later. It talks about sharing with God's people. Right? In Titus 1, 8 and 9, it says this: rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Hospitality is the quality of being hospitable. Hospitable is being kind to strangers and guests. Now today, for the title for this machine over here, I've entitled my sermon today, Christian Hospitality, going back into that book later. And to start off with today is the story that I started off with a few weeks ago. Remember, if you remember, just sit through it, please. When I was a boy back in the 1963-64, I was caught in a situation in far western New South Wales. That's about 800 miles or 800 kilometres from where we're sitting here now, western New South Wales. And I was on a holiday with my brother. And I had an old standard 10 car. The standard 10 was a bit of an oil burner, a manual, black one. It was a bit of an oil burner. And we were out in the blocks of western New South Wales, out the other side of West Wyalong, between West Wyalong and Gullah, travelling along nicely, when the inevitable thing happened. And in those days, you had to look out for this. This was something you had to watch. On came the red light on the dash. Oh, what's wrong? Well, in those days, when you saw a red light on the dashboard, you put the foot on the brake and you stopped real quick. Real quick. That light was telling you something. I just looked at a red light here, Bob. The red light was telling us, you didn't know the car, we lifted the bonnet, what was wrong. lifted the bonnet, everything seemed all right. We better check the oil. Well, we checked the oil, and there was a problem. Because the oil was under the line that's supposed to be on the stick. You see, we had an oil burn, but we didn't know it at the time. Neither of you set a ring. What do we do? We're about 120 kilometres from Dubbo, or West Wyalong, out the back of the stick. Now, if you know what the new highway's like, some of you do, you're on your own. Really. What do we do? It's a Sunday afternoon. No mobile phones in those days, at all. Still there for about 10 minutes. And I swear to this day, the Lord sent an angel in the form of a truck driver to us. We're standing there for about 10, 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden we see this semi coming up the road, probably about one semi every 2 days or something like that, another day. Yes, that's how fast it was. 10 minutes, mind you, 10 minutes after we stopped, there's a semi coming up the road. He pulls up because those are the things he did the other day, and he stops. What's up, mate? Well, we're in trouble. Oh, we got water. Yeah, the water was right. We checked the radio was right. But we've got trouble. We won't be able to go more than 2 kilometres, if that, up the road with this car won't move. What do we do? Semi-trailer driver, grinned at my brother and I. He said, I've got the answer for you. He said, I've got a tin of oil in the back of the truck. You know, downstairs on the back of the truck. Goes back in the back of the truck. It's the oil out. Pulls it up. Now he didn't move. He just said, now what's that? You want to see that light on the car, light on the thing you want? He said, yeah. Then he took the unordinary step of saying this. You drive in front of me, and I'll follow you. Now that's something that doesn't happen too often today. I will follow you. There was an angel protecting my rear, our rear, the rear of the car, to make sure we got into the next town. Which he did, 50 or 60 kilometres. He followed us all the way into West Wyalong. Took us to the garage. He said, now you fellas right? Yes, you should be right. Thank you very much. And he was off. Never saw that man again. We were fixed up at the garage. We were given oil. We were given this. We continued on our way home. Instead of going the long way home, we decided we'd get our house straight open and double back in the city to get the car home, which we did. I swear to this day that was an angel sent to us in the form of a truck driver to help two Adventist brothers out of trouble on the side of the road. That's what that statement talks about. Two Adventist brothers. An angel, I reckon, helped them. Hebrews 13:2 states the following. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people entertain angels without knowing it. And there's the three Bible references there for you to follow if you so choose from my study book. I put them there, so if you want to write them down, you can go and have a look at them. They're from the study book. That's one story. The second story that I want to tell revolves around me also, involving another car, but involving a trip from Sydney to Brisbane by the New England Highway, late one afternoon to Brisbane by the New England Highway, who take a third up the highway and up, climb up, you know what I'm talking about. When we left Tenderfield, we ran into a thunderstorm quite severely. We were going into either the suburbs of Brisbane. We got stuck in the storm and we were delayed a couple of hours. Couldn't move. We eventually got going. I was going to my late grandmother and step-grandfather's place in Brisbane. We managed to get there about half past 2 in the morning. Just look at this lady. 2:30 in the morning. My grandparents have probably gone to bed about 9 o'clock in the morning, in the night. When we arrived at that place, 2:30 in the morning, before we could say boo, there was a meal on the table, a hot dinner on the table at 2:30 in the morning. It had been kept on their stove, on what you call, in those days, it was a saucepan. Water. 3. There was a meal at 2:30. Hospitality that wasn't expected. Grandmothers and families did that in those days. Doesn't matter what time the day or the night is, just come in. I'm now in a situation where my family come and visit me, yes, passing through by the way, I'm in the middle house now otherwise. Just leave the back door unlocked and the light on and we'll find our way to bed. So I might go to bed one night when I'm in Hamilton, on my own, and I might have a house for 4 or 5 people in that corner. Help yourself to the tea, coffee, whatever, oops, if you said that, whatever. Whatever you want, help yourself, it's all out here. See you normally. Hospitality is something that we take for granted in this world today. Hospitality is there. If we sit down and have a lunch together, I consider that one of the loveliest things that we can have as a family, as a church group. Because I'm enjoying my time here today. So that's the last for all. But it's something that I read. If we look through the Bible, we see that there are texts in the Bible, and seeing I've finished that page now, I've got to turn the whole thing around and just jokingly put it on the wrong way. Now I've tried to put it down as best I can and do it. The key Bible passage is Romans 12:13, which I've read. And I was going back to the my standard Bible now, where it reads this. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's all my Bible. That's all this new Bible says. The other one, as you heard, says a lot more. Just out of interest sake. Excuse me. I read some statistics this morning about this Living Bible. I've never seen them before, but I've turned up when it was printed. The Living Bible was first printed in July 1971. The fifth printing, listen to this, was February 1972. The fifth printing of the Bible, I don't know how many copies, was in February 1972. The tenth printing was in October 1972. Listen to that. The 10th printing of the Bible is in October 72. At the end of October 1972, the total Living Bibles in print in the world were 4,725,000. 4,725,000 Living Bibles in a bit over 12, 13 months. Today, if I was to go back on the internet and find out, or go into Dimmick and find out if this book is still in, the Bible is still in print, it would be interesting to see the number of Bibles extending far in excess of 4,725,000. Yes, it's different. Puts it in a different light. But when I was growing up in 1973-4, this was the Bible that broke through the barrier for me from the original standard King James Bible. It showed hospitality in a different way. It said it in a different way. Modern way is modern thought. That's the law. I won't go back to this one. I will stick with this one. This morning, I want to look at some verses and some problems. And my first verse that I want to do, now I'm going to be reading it from the Bible, but I've written it down for my is Galatians 6:10. I think I've got it right. Up on the top left hand side, part 1. This is divided into two parts. I'll explain why I'm going into two parts in a few minutes. Galatians 6:10, and it reads this. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. When I was growing up at Concord Church, there was a group of ladies out the back that had a room. It was called in our day Dorcas. And out the back there was every size clothes for just about every person who lived in Concord and around and surrounding things. And it was their way of showing hospitality. I wouldn't be going as a young man to go past the door of this Dorcas room because that was ladies' room. You never went in there. Just make sure it was all locked up and went home. But the hospitality that those ladies ensued on that room, I found out many years sustained a lot of families around about here in Concord. And the hospitality was there. One of the other outstanding ministers of the day showed hospitality that I can never understand how he did it. It was a little chap called Pastor Hong, Eric Hong, all right, there are those here that know who I'm going to call. He's about that tall, literally. And boy, he can go. If he said there was a hall going to be built on the church, there was a hall going to be built. His wife was a cook lady, and they did a lot of Chinese good work, he said, in our church. You would always go to their place on a Saturday afternoon if you were invited. I wasn't much. And there were hospitality was later. You never wanted for anything. Unfortunately, in our societies today, not all our members' homes are that way. We find that homes are in a situation where you go into the place and you have to take your shoes off at the front door. And if you want to ask for anything, just ask, but don't go to the sink and get a glass of water. That's taboo. You've got to pay the lady that has to come over and drink the water. She'll go out there. If you ever been put in a situation where you'll find your hospitality in some places is nice, but the hospitality in others is even better, even as Christians. Now, I hate to say that, but that's the way it is. That's what it's all about. Moving on, because I'm just going to get away from that. That's good. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and his immediate family, he let the faith down and is worse than an unbeliever. We all have the situation. Another situation I can remember now, years ago. I was in Melbourne and staying at the sister's place. And lo and behold, I caught my sister out one night because she forgot I was coming. You can hear. I walked in the door and they were sitting down at the back. She had visitors and I was about the last one in the room. Oh, I forgot you. Oh, that's nice. Well, Sally's gone out the door. Yeah, right. I'll be right. I saw my sister do something that night as well, and she got rid of thought. She said, sit down at the table. I didn't do what my sister told me. Leave it back. You put all your plates on the front, in front, on the table. Potato off this one. Pea off that one. Bean. And she moved around. And before long, there was an extra plate on that table with the wine. Everybody had taken something off their table to feed. Hospitality. Well, did you do that? Years ago when I was... Oh, she's gone. One of the little ones here. I had to go up the street one night, I was about 1953, in the middle of a thunderstorm with an umbrella to meet my father on the bus. In the middle of a thunderstorm. You know what thunderstorms are like in Canberra and Sydney? They're very severe. We've had a group of them up here this last week. It's been terrifying. I had to cross a busy road in Concord with this umbrella. I was petrified. If my father had gone off to work that morning without the umbrella. I'm getting a bit of a sidetrack, I don't know. Without the umbrella. Came home on the bus. And this is yours truly. He was standing at the bus stop waiting for it. Yeah, Dad. There's an umbrella. Now, as soon as that bus pulled up, he got off. My worry broke. I was with my father. Didn't matter where I was on the wrong side of the road, but that didn't matter. My earthly father was there to help me back across the road. The umbrella. He got it. I was no older than this little girl. That's about it. On the street, on my arm, didn't care. Lightning ever flashing around. Dad was there. I got him home. Michael thought of that, and I've explained this one before. Years later, about 60 years later, I had that second that favour returned to me. I had to go down to Melbourne to an exhibition one Easter, and I got drenched between here and the railway station, thoroughly, dried out, on the coast down to Melbourne. Got off in Melbourne, got drenched again, going down from Collins Street to Spencer Street, you had to walk down the hill. Absolutely soaked. Got on the tram and I thought I was like a drowned rat. Yes, what's happening to me? A drowned rat, man. Yes, so what? I didn't care. Bag was all sopping, had all wet clothes on, sleeping in one. I had an hour and 20-minute tram ride out to where I was going. Because I was going right out to the end, we have a family arrangement. If it's raining cats and dogs, excuse me, we'll meet you at the end of the tram line, I'm sure. This night, it was heavy. When I got off the tram that night, figured, went out of the dark. And with my sister, the umbrella. I had to cross over the Maroondah Highway to the other side, and go back down to the other side. And I've often thought of that again. There was the follow-up, what I did for my father when I was knee-high to that, my sister did to me 60 years later. She got me out of trouble, and I was in trouble. Christian Hospital. Can you say that today? That you have talked to somebody else? I am not covering what I was intending to cover, but I've just gone off a little bit. But I'll get to it. The texture on the page there. What do I next one? Act. Oh yes, 1 Timothy 5:8 reads it. If anyone does not, I've said about that. Acts 28:10 talks in the Bible. I'm only dealing with the one text. They honoured us in many ways when we were ready to sail. They furnished us with the supplies we needed. I'm talking about when Paul was in Malta, on the ship. When they needed food and supplies, the local people supplied Christian hospitality. Acts 28. 1 Peter 4:11, and then I'm going to go back to 1 Peter 4:19. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone serve, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Think about that a minute. Let's see. For him with the power. He gives us the power to have the hospitality, to go out and make sure that people are right. Or are you walking up the street with a load of shopping and somebody pulls up, can I give you a lift, brother? Can I give you help you up here? My sister was here yesterday. I find it very hard to walk. She said, I'll give you a lift up to the post office on the way to Washington. And she did. A simple little act of body driving between 2 kilometres saved me an unscruciating pain in my right leg. And a little bit of hockey coming. Interesting. Hospitality. Hospitality is one of those things we take for granted, or do we? Do we take it for granted, or don't we? We go to a place and we find a table. We find places around to sit. I find that being a single fellow by my choice, at my age, yes. My choice, I must admit. Sometimes I sit in places where I'm sitting at a one table or a two table and I've got people circling me wanting to know when I'm going to get up and get my dinner and clear off so they can bring their family. You probably know what I'm talking about. That's the trouble with going to these big supermarket places. Everybody wants your seat. This week, I had the family here and I had friends. Unexpected friends turn up at my place on Thursday. We weren't supposed to go out for tea till 6:30 in the evening. They turned up at my place at 9:10 in the morning. See what they had to do at the hospital, I was saying. Oh, we're not going home. We're staying with you for the day. Yeah, up with the heckle. I got other things I was going to do. I said I was going to do. I'll get the lunch here, about a Christmas dinner. Very nice. Spent the day with the family, and sister, off the Auburn. You never know when hospitality is going to be. What it says, I don't know who I'm going to serve. Hospitality. I could be walking up a street in Sydney. That's where I come from. See, George Street. You might see somebody sitting in the gutter. Hospitality begins to live. Oh yes. I remember years ago as a young man, since I've been down here, I was at Spencer Street Station one day. And I saw something that surprised me. I've told this story in the church before. I saw a lady go down on the steps of Spencer Street Station. I thought, this is going to be interesting because I was across the road. What's going to happen to you? Now, all the people like us sitting here today, we all look nice and everything like that, don't we? That's right. Nice. Then I saw something totally unexpected to me. I saw four people that we call them hippies today. Hair sticking up here, pink, white, blue, everything. Big belt on the bloke, about that long, with all the little sticks and stalks on. Belt out here, and the girls all the same, all fancy, you know, this, that, corky looking thing. This lady went down. And I saw something amazing. That guy. These four people, she needed four to pick her up. These four people got round her while she was down and they just picked her up like that. Thank you. Put on her feet and picked her up and took her inside the toilet in the street. Are you right, lady? She must have said. But to see that totally unexpected in today's society was something that just made me stop and think. Maybe there is a spark of hospitality today in humans that we just don't know that it's there until we're tested. A spark, a decent spark, that no matter whether you're down and out, you look what we would call something terrible, clothes-wise, I'm talking about them, not like you and I, and that they did something that took my breath away. Just one of those little things. I move on. 1 Peter 4:9-10. Now I did this one a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going in on a particular part. 1 Peter 4:9-10 reads this. I've got it written down here, so don't worry. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering in various forms. Gifts. What's your gift? They tell me I've got a gift of sitting, being able to sit down here because I can't stand for long periods, hence I'm sitting. That I've got a gift to be able to talk from the heart. I can. No worries. That's It's a gift that I've been given, blessed with. But if you'd have said to me 30 years ago that I'd do this, I'd have laughed at you and run out the door and run the other one. That's life. I want to move now to another side of my presentation. And I want you to open your Bibles up to Luke 19. I'm going to read something. And I want to show hospitality in a different way. Luke 19, I've got that one.
Yes.
Luke 19, 1 to 9. And it starts this off by saying this. Zacchaeus, I need you. Get down out of the tree. Who, me? Who, me, Lord? What do you want me for? There's a little story here. Little Zacchaeus, little buddy, up the tree. Little Zacchaeus, up the tree, tax collector. The Lord says to him, I want to see you. What does it say? I want to come home to your place. Lord, what do you want to come home to my place? Well, I'm only a little old fellow, tax collector. You don't want to know me. I just want to get up the tree so I can see you better. What's going on here? Did we find Jesus walking along? I'm not going to read through because it's a tax collector. We find Jesus walking along, and he comes to the tree. He sees this little bloke up the tree. I want to see you. I want to come home to your place and meet with you. I want to come to your place. He just is talking. Jesus. Now, is everything about us, where we are, what we're doing, how many hairs I've got on my head, whether I've got clean shoes, dirty shoes, or whether the cat's been fed, all that sort of thing? No. No. Okay. Jesus stood under that tree. Oh, down here, I want to see you. I want to come. What does it say? All the people saw him looking at the mother. He'd gone with the guest to see him. I want to see you. He'd come down and talk. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. Isn't there a message there in verse number 9? Seek and save the lost. Christian, Jesus, yes. Hospitality, yes. Hospitality. All right. Just think of that one. Hospitality of Jesus, shall I? I'll stop. I'm not going to go any further than that because my time is gone. Come with me now to, what have I got? John 4, 1 to 15. Now, John 4, 1 to 15 paints a different picture of hospitality. It involves Jesus and water at the well. And I'm not going to read it all, except that I will read part. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus was sitting there. He said to her, will you give me a drink? And read my bottle. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan, verse number, let me see it. 9, my eyes and all, they should be, because I should have tested it by. You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Interesting thought, Jesus said. The woman, so, Jesus is sitting there. Just an example, he's sitting there, he asks for a glass of water. What is that? A drink of water. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, would you have asked him and he would have given you living water? rocks, there's living waters here. And he goes on. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with the well, and it is deep. Where can I get this living water? And it goes on. Then Jesus says to her in verse number 17, yes, 17, Jesus, I have no husband, she said. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. And Jesus declared, and so forth, it goes on. Another example where Jesus uses hospitality to the woman's advantage and or to his. A simple glass of water requested from Jesus. When a child asks you for a simple glass of water, do you give it to them before you say, no, I'm not going to give it to you? You let them go, or you make sure they get a drink of water. Hospitality. Hospitality is there. I'm running a bit late. Luke 15:11-32. Luke 15:11-32. Luke 15. You all know this one. Luke 15. I'm only going to touch on it lightly, but this is one that went wrong. You all know the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15:11-32. If you read through that particular passage, you can see Jesus continued. There was a parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided up the property between them. And so you know the story. He went off and he fed the pig and he did all this sort of thing. Come back, monkey, whatever, later. Verse 17 says this. When he had come to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your own hired men. And so he got up and went back to his father. You know the story. How this went bad, it reversed back on the father because the other son had been there. And then we come to the end. The father saw him coming, running, he did all that stuff. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, verse 22, quick, bring the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his finger and so forth, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it or whatever. Let's have a feast and celebrate. It went all wrong from there. Because what the father was trying to do with his son, welcome his son, huh? The other son, got a bit iffy and didn't want to have anything to do with that. What do you want to give him that for, Dad? I've stayed home, I've done this, I've killed your man, I've taken your stock to the sale yard and sell it and brought your money home. And you dress him up like something that I've never seen. What do I get? Yeah. Ever heard this one before? Can you relate to someone in your family? It's a bit like that. At the moment I can, in our family. It'll be more better later. The way that this ends is this. My son, in verse 21, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. Can we say that in our society today to friends that have gone away from this church, left this church, or family even for that matter, yes, family, come on, that have left the church and gone away? Pray God that they come back one day. Or cause no more problems. So I put that there. Hospitality that went wrong. Matthew 25:31-46. It talks about here in this particular section, I'm not going to dwell on it all, talks about the sheep and the goat. My Bible's been read and it's entitled The Sheep and the Goat. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit at his throne in heaven, glory. All the nations will be gathered there before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. The thought is there to me now, we are living in a society. We have to be most careful on which side of that we want to stand. I don't want to end up in the goat paddock. The goat paddock. Yes, I've been in the goat paddock, but I've been on the farm down here in Brankton. Yeah, I've been always done that. And the sheep farm, same one. Done all that. I want to be on the sheep paddock. Here. Just think about it. Separating good and bad. I want eternal life. I don't want to go to the other place. Come with me just a little further. Verse 35 reads this. Verse 35, Matthew 26. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Note that. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Have you ever gone up to the chemist to get tablets for someone that's sick and can't get up there? Or done something? I have. That's life. Christian hospitality. I live next to I live in the middle of, most people know where I live, Alexander Parade. I have a Lutheran couple on one side of me, who the man is practically useless by health. He has cancer of the lymphoma gland. He can hardly move. I put his bins out. And he's Jewish. And I'm fucking rubbish. Without pulling. Bring the bins in. I have a lady on the other side of me, it's about 94, lives on a walking frame. And I did the same for her. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was up in the supermarket doing my shopping, nobody else does it for me. And she was there. She said to me, she said, I don't know who is putting my bins out. She said, but they always seem to be out when I want to go out and get them. She said to me, by chance, is it you? I didn't pat me wing or anything. Yes, it's you. Fine. She thanked me very much. So now when I come across the street, I make sure that the bins are out there, my place naturally, and
He would have put him off the job.
You gave me something. I was a stranger and you invited me in.
You ever had a knock on the door in the middle of the night, one of them said,
now, this type of thing today, you would not open the door to see who was, you'd ask who the girls with the light.
You won't need it.
Would you close it? I was sick. I won't go on, but let's see. Isaiah 56, 1 and 2.
Read this.
Isaiah 56, 1, 56, 1 and 2. My Bible, the New King James Version, reads this. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing evil. I've just slightly gone off track of it, but I'm going to end up somewhere in a minute. Come back now to John 3 John, back of the Bible, 3 John, here's my name. I'm going to find it. Yes, that's right. Put that wrong. John 3, back of the Bible, just before Jude. John 3, 1, there's only one, verse 8. Verse 8 reads in my Bible. We ought therefore to show hospitality to each other, so that we may work together for the truth. So that we might work together for the truth. Interesting statement. So that we might work together for the truth. I want to read one more passage, and it's on the Bible. And so this is my last passage that I'm going to read today from this church this year. I want to end up on this one. Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 20. And I'm going to read from 19, and I'm going to read right through to the end, 21. The main one is Revelation 3, 20. You all know what it is. From verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. 21 reads this. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Today, the Spirit is talking through the churches in many ways. But as I close this today, I want to read a passage that I read here a couple of weeks ago from our friend in Scotland, William Barclay. The Christian has to regard himself as the steward of God. In the ancient world, the steward was very important. He himself might be a slave, but his master's goods were in his hand. There are two main kinds of steward. The dispenser, who is responsible for the domestic arrangements of the household, and who laid out and divided out the household supplies, and the bailiff, who was in charge of his master's estate, and who acted as a landlord to his master's tenant. The steward knew well that nothing of the things over which he had control belonged to him. They all belonged to his master. In the administration of things, his duty was to consult his master's interests and everything he did was answerable to his mum. There are two thoughts here brought out. Another one here. Such gifts of man he must place ungrudgingly at the service of the community. Again, we go through the Bible and we see the gifts of each of us can be used in a certain way. Back in the days of old, the church needed help. And it talks about, in this book, the situation where you had to go out and you had to find lodging, you had to find things, because some of these places weren't particularly very nice. Australia. But today, it's still the same. The church survives today on Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality is as vital today as it was back in the days of Jesus Christ. So today, as I finish off, I'll read that. I want to finish off with one thought. From the bottom then. I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock. Are you willing to let him in? If Jesus came to your door today and knocked on the door, would you rush around? Oh, I've got to vacuum this. Sorry, Jesus, I can't do that. I've got to go out. I've got to go up to the news agent, the Powerball, put my money on, all that sort of stuff, and see if I can win something. I'm too busy to see you today. Can you come tomorrow? Can you make an appointment on my answering machine? Leave a message. Are we in a society today, we talked about this morning, to see society today with hospitality that extends this way, that I said it this morning, I'll say it again for this. Well, I know of a couple here in Hamilton that are on the computer all day and all night on the stock exchange. One watches it in the day and one watches it in the night. And if you ask them what happened at 2:32 in the morning over in London, they can tell you what the footy was or what this was or what that was. They sit there and watch their money evaluating up and down, up and down. Are we in a society today that we care too much about money? Hospitality has got away from us. The simple act of putting food on a table or having little children sit around a table at Christmas time is a lovely thing. As I close off the day, I wish everybody here a happy coming season, driving safely, looking after your relatives, and I hope to return here one day about the middle of March. The elders have of me. That's how bad things are. But don't worry, I'll be in a church somewhere. I'll be somewhere in a church. Or off school or to school all, you know. And I'll be there. I won't be here, but I'll be in a church. For every weekend, I thoroughly enjoy coming into my home on a Friday night, plopping down, excuse me, in the seat, and thinking about spiritual things. Can you do the same? Think about spiritual things. I look forward to the Sabbath day because I know I'm going to go home absolutely tired out from doing nothing physically, but mentally up here, my brain works more in the morning from now about what I should be now on a Sabbath morning than it ever does probably during the week. I live on my own. There's probably only two words I said in that home. Hello. That's all. I walk around thinking, now what does my voice sound like in the home? I better speak to myself. No, I don't bring up enough fun yet. I'm not quite ready for this. I can still get around. Hospitality. Caring hospitality to make sure that your neighbours are right. Are they right? I leave a light on in my place so that the neighbours can see that I'm alright. They leave a light on their place. They're alright. We don't talk, we don't look, but there's a light on. Here you go. He's home. Don't go away without them. I have a family that cares. We all belong to a family that cares. We're all God's family. That cares about us. He cares about us. But we have earthly responsibility too. If I go away, I have to let my sister know where I am. Or oh, she's got old message on the phone, you know where I am. One day of the year, I have to be in a certain place. One day, the 25th of December, whatever that year is. Doesn't matter where in the world I am, Beijing, Hong Kong, London, Woy, Gosford, or Hamilton, not Hamilton. On that day, at some stage, I have to put my feet under that table. At the end of that day, bye-bye. See you next year, but make sure you get your feet under that table next year. If you see you beforehand, that's good. That's the rule for the household. Christmas Day, you do not spend on your own. Christmas Day is when you have friends with you. We are approaching that time today, this year now, when we are thinking about that. Christmas Day is a special time of the year. Now, it's turned into a civilian toilet. Dare I say, circle. No, you know what I mean. Shopping, all this sort of stuff. But the underlying factor is there's somebody out there that needs our special food. My hope and pray that as we go forward into this new year and this new period next year, that we will be able to move forward in Jesus. It has been a privilege to be able to become here today, to sit here, and in this church for this last year or so. Things in our household have got a little bit worse over the last year or so. There's other things, unforeseen things now, pop their heads up to do with government departments. And so, just for the time being, it's going to be my last service here this morning. I end with this statement. I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock. Are you willing to let him in? Jesus knocking on your heart today. Can I come into your place and sup with you? Yes, it might sound simple, it is. It's a simple invitation. I stand at the door. Or I finish with what's Psalm 119, 120 say? I am the light. It says something about, I am the light of the world. Something to that effect. It's the last verse in Psalm. It says something about, I am the light of the world. Jesus is there for us. No matter whether we're in darkness or light, no matter what, Jesus is there. Thank you very much. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to study your word in simple hospitality, Christian wise, this morning. I pray, Lord, that we will be able to take this message from here today and put it into practical service, to be able to glorify your name and to move forward. But one thing we remember, Lord, we remember, no matter what you did for us at Calvary, you shed your blood for us at Calvary so we might live if we so choose. You went through the agony of death, you know what it feels like. You came down to this earth for us to share our lives on this earth. Now I pray, Lord, that we will be taken forward from this place into the afternoon that we have, and may this Sabbath day be just as be pleasant for us to be in. And I close this prayer this morning with these words from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the greatest to you. The Lord turn his face to